My children love Legos. So both of them got Lego sets for Christmas. Cameron got, if you have seen or if you know folks who have sung the song Everything is Awesome, my kids love, that's right, my kids love the Lego movie, and Cameron got this thing from the Lego movie called Benny's Spaceship. Apparently you have to say it that way. It's this gigantic spaceship. Now, Cameron at 10 years old wouldn't let me help him build it, which I found a little disappointing. But Zach's set, which comes from a Lego set called Chima, and they have this nifty little TV series that they encourage children to talk their parents into buying these things. Right. Zach wanted something different for Christmas, and so this is what he got. Now, Zach is 5, and he is not quite as able to build these things as Cameron. So as Cameron spent a good chunk of Christmas Day building Benny's spaceship, I was sitting with the instructions to build this set. At which point I became glad that I wasn't in there building Cameron's set as well. I want you to show you the instruction book. Well, here's the first one. And then here's the second one. And then here's the third one. And I want you to know that I didn't bring the entire set. I brought most of it, but not all of it. I had to get Zach's permission to bring it, of course. And it, of course, it detaches. It comes apart. And if I hit the wrong thing, it'll start dropping things out of it here. And it transforms into this airplane-looking thing. It's very elaborate. I should walk around with this. I want you to know, as I was building the, let me grab some of the instructions, too. I mean, I'm not going to be turning to pages and showing things off, but the instructions are sort of elaborate as you look through this and where to put which part where. But even as elaborate and detailed as these instructions are, I can't tell you how many times I got lost and confused. Right? Because it's this detailed drawing on get in there and put this little tiny piece in this specific place, not telling you that if you don't put it in the right place, in about a half an hour, you're going to have to take half of it apart because something else fits on top of it, right? They don't tell you that part. And so I found myself continually wondering, like, am I doing this right? Or am I going to have to completely back up in a half an hour and take half of it apart and completely readjust my look at all of this? And I think we often do that in our lives, and especially in our faith lives. Imagine for yourself, or maybe not imagine, maybe remember a time in your life where perhaps you faced something, faced a decision, faced a circumstance, either in hindsight or beforehand, and said to yourself, am I making the right choice here? Am I doing the right thing? If I make this choice or follow through with this circumstance, am I going with what I want to do? Or am I really giving myself over to what God wants me to do? Is it safe to say that we've all faced that kind of question? Is it safe to say that each of us experiences those moments where even if we have something that we might look at as some sort of instruction manual, we could debate whether or not the Bible's an instruction manual. We're not going to get into that today. But even with the great resource that is our sacred scripture, do we still find ourselves wondering, am I doing the right thing? How do I know? And on one hand, we may seek out that sort of supernatural confirmation. God, just turn the sky orange today and I'll know. God, just send me a sign. One of my favorite movies is Bruce Almighty, if you've seen it. And there's a clip from Bruce Almighty where he's driving his car. He just left his apartment where his girlfriend and he just had a fight, and he's driving and he's sort of at his last straw, and he decides that, well, I guess I'll pray. His girlfriend keeps telling him to pray, and he says, well, I guess I'll pray. And he even has a rosary that he's praying on, which, by the way, can be challenging while you're driving, as he finds. And he's saying, God, just give me a sign. And, of course, this truck pulls out in front of him and does like 5 miles an hour, and he gets really mad. But if you look at the back of the truck, it's filled with all these road signs that say, wrong way, detour. And I sometimes wonder how we might put some meaning on something that maybe we shouldn't. And on the other hand, how we might, in hindsight, see, oh, God was talking to me then and I just wasn't paying attention. We might want those even more supernatural things, except I think we're afraid a little bit of ourselves, and am I going to have to go lock myself in a padded room with that special jacket? I had a supernatural experience once, and it has to do with my own call to ministry. And that supernatural experience was simply hearing a voice that wasn't my own. At which point, I wondered if I needed to go spend some time in that padded room with the special jacket. That was the moment that I understood that I was called to ministry. I was at a church camp, and there were 100 kids around. And in a moment that I heard a word that said to me, seminary, that helped me to understand that I was called into ordained ministry. And like I said, I was terrified. I was absolutely flabbergasted. And I wanted to do like Jonah and run the other way. I wanted to do like Moses and make up excuses. There was a pastor there on staff. He's a friend of mine, and some folks from this congregation have met him. He's the pastor up at Vista United Methodist Church. He was on staff, and I didn't know him that well, but I figured he's clergy, and I probably ought to talk to somebody about this. And he said this. Now, if you've met George, you understand that he has an affinity for large words. And so he said, often we can discern the call of God through the affirmation of others. Often we can understand what it is that God's calling us to do, even if God is calling us, by chatting it over with some people and get the response. Maybe you've had that experience where I have this idea of something I want to do with my life, and you run it by some of your closest friends, and either they laugh at you or they tell you that's absolutely the wrong direction for you. Sometimes it's good to pay attention to that. Maybe you've had some close friends and you've had an idea of somewhere you want to go with your life, and you've run it by some close friends and they said, that's absolutely brilliant. I think it's important that we pay attention to these things. When I stood up in front of 100 campers that week at camp and said I had this supernatural experience where I sort of wonder if I need to be in the padded room with the special jacket, the response was more than affirming. It was more than beautiful. Because the response was, well, you idiot, we've been saying this for years. I think that we all want that sort of affirmation. I think that we all want to know that we're doing the right thing, that we're following the right path. Sometimes I think that we just want to know that we can see the path in the first place. And I think it's natural for us to want that. I think it's a good thing for us to want that. It's natural to want to be claimed, to be affirmed, to be named. And this first scripture I want to read, which is out of the Gospel of Mark, is where something like this happens for someone who I think many of us would want to at least follow a little bit and maybe identify with and try our hardest to be like. Because it happens to Jesus. He has that experience, in his case a supernatural experience, of that affirmation of yes, this is who you are. This is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the fourth verse. First, just a little bit about John the Baptist and some of the things that John the Baptist said in prophecy. And then with verse 4, this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sin and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, which means he wasn't in the fashion crowd, right? For food, he ate locusts and wild honey, which means he wasn't in the health craze crowd, right? Good. And John announced, which I think is a wonderful thing. It's easy for anyone, when you get sort of the crowds gathering around, it's easy, I think, for anyone to sort of get a big head about you and let this be about me. And John does something different. He announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, other Gospels will tell the story of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And then the story of the clouds opening up and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." What gift is given, whether it's to Jesus or perhaps to us, when we choose to give our lives over to the church? It's that gift of the Holy Spirit. Each year we celebrate Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the second chapter of Acts, where suddenly they're able to do more than they could do before. In ways where I wonder if some of them thought that maybe I ought to be in the padded room with the special jacket. They were able to speak different languages that they couldn't speak before. And so I wonder how we might explore within ourselves whether or not we're doing the right thing, whether or not we are being affirmed not only by those who might be closest to us, but by the God who created us, by the Christ who redeems us, by the Spirit that continues to empower us. How might we do that? There's a group here in the church that's called Readiness 360, and it's a group of leaders within this congregation who have been participating in a conference program that has to do with vitalizing churches, revitalizing churches, helping to establish and generate even more growth with those churches that are doing pretty well. And, you know, frankly, our church is doing pretty well. And yet I don't know a church in the world who doesn't think that, well, maybe we could grow a little more. And it seems by consensus that this congregation sort of feels that it'd be nice to fill all the pews. We haven't filled all the pews, but we've got people in every pew, which is a good thing, you know, if you think about some churches. Do you know that our attendance has been going up over the last year? Did you know? Yeah. Good. We're in the process of reporting some numbers to the conference. And last year, when these numbers were reported, the average attendance over both services was about, 160, 168, something like that. We're up into about 180 now. Some modest growth, but that's pretty good. And frankly, it's a trend that's not new. We're doing pretty well, and yet we understand there's always more that we can do. And this Readiness 360 group is a group that's looking at ways that we can do this. And one of the things that this group has discerned, partly through a survey that went out to many of you, is one, a recognition of the great things we're doing. I want to tell you, and I've said this before, when Beth and I first came to this church, after the first service, Beth was in tears because it was the first time in a while that she felt truly moved by a music service. And frankly, it has a lot to do, did I say a music service? I meant a worship service, and thank you. And one of the first times she's been truly moved by a worship service, and a great deal of it had to do with the music in the service. I myself, every Sunday, feel wonderfully moved by our music. And not only the choir, as many great things as the choir does, but the way you all sing during hymns, and I've said this before too, all y'all sing louder than other churches I've been a part of that had far higher attendance. And it's wonderful. There is a sense of beauty and spirituality in this church when we worship together. So while there might be some things that we could do, we're not going to focus as much on worship, but one thing that we can focus on that Readiness 360 has sort of discerned, maybe there's more that we can do about deepening our faith outside of worship. And so as a part of that, this group decided to study the book of Acts and spent about 2 months going through every single chapter in Acts. And there was one particular week that we all met together and looked at something out of the 19th chapter of Acts. And I'll read it in a minute. It's a story about an observation of the Holy Spirit landing and empowering some people. And one of the things that we discovered as a group, number one, is this isn't the first time that there's been a writing of someone observing the Spirit empowering someone. But one of the things we observed is there's nowhere in Acts that I could find where somebody steps up and say, okay, I've got the Spirit. Whew! All right, I'm good. I've received the Holy Spirit, and so now I can do whatever it is that God... Like, there's none of that. There's no sort of self-proclamation. Okay, I have the Spirit now. It's not about that kind of claiming. But every time that we read in the book of Acts about someone being empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's always an observation by someone else. I want to read to you this from the 19th chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 7. This is Paul's third missionary journey. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. They replied, "The baptism of John." Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." I wonder if it might be important to pay attention to the people around us. Because I believe that often we can hear God's voice through others. I don't think it always has to be a supernatural thing. I think there was a particular Sunday when one of our youth acted as a worship leader. And as she stood in the back with me after worship and shook hands, I can't tell you how many folks said to her what a beautiful job she did, and I agree. I told her the same thing myself. If you've ever had an experience like that, might we understand that not only is this a group of folks showing love and care to someone who did hard work to stand up here, this isn't an easy thing for a lot of folks, but that God too might be speaking in those times and in those words. I'm not trying to single her out, but use this as an example for any time, whether it's the beautiful music of our choir or someone who might lead in another way, perhaps a worship leader or as an usher or serve on a committee. Maybe you've heard someone say, "You just really seem to have a gift for this. You really seem to be doing what you're meant to do." Now, I'm not saying that that's the only way that we can understand that we might be doing the right thing. But I think that's one way that we might understand that we're living into the God that calls us all. I also think that sometimes some of those more challenging things come from the people around us. Gosh, I think you'd be really good at coordinating our ushers. I think you'd be really good at at helping me lead this grief group that's coming up. I think you have a beautiful voice, and you might really add to the choir. I sense in you that you have this great heart for the underprivileged. And I'd love to see you on Wednesday nights. See, because I don't think it just comes in affirmation. I think that often we can hear God's call through the voice of others. What I invite you to do is to spend some time in thoughtful prayer. That kind of prayer that's not the birthday list that sometimes we give to God. I want this, and I want that, and I want this Chima Lego set, and I want this Benny spaceship, and I want this new iPhone, and I want this and that. But that kind of prayer where we spend time listening. Now, people pray in different ways, and for some it's falling on your knees in a silent room, and for others prayer happens when you're driving down the road and listening to a song on the radio and that particular lyric comes on. And for some, it's being in a community of people who you love. In all of those times, however it is that you pray, I invite you to listen to the voices of the people around you. Say, when you feel called to something, and talk about it. And an equally important part is that when you see someone who is empowered by the Spirit, who is doing that thing that surely they are called to do, we must say something. We talk about being together the body of Christ. We talk about being together as a community of faith empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let us not forget that as the body of Christ, as a body who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we too are called to share in that power with our words, with our care, with our love. This is my invitation to you so that we might together not only know whether or not we are doing the right thing, but to help others know that they are doing the right thing. And so I close in prayer. Holy and gracious God, you continue to call out to us, gifting us in so many ways, and calling us to use the gifts that have been given. Help us to feel your power and your love. Help us to hear your voice with our own ears or through the mouths of the people around us, so that we might know that we're following your call. And give us the grace and strength to be that voice for others. As we together, your creation, the body of Christ and empowered by the Spirit, work to transform ourselves, one another, and the world. And God, even as we look to you for aid, we also lift up to you our hearts of joy when we celebrate. When we celebrate new life. When we celebrate healing. We celebrate discovery. God, give us hearts to continue to focus on you. In the times of dancing and in the times of sorrow. So that our hearts, our minds, indeed our spirits are always turned to you. We thank you for the ways that you love us and empower us. We lift up this prayer in the name of your Son, our Christ, who teaches us to pray together as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will.
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power